Vanilla Tutti Frutti Day.
I call him Ice Cream Dough. He'll be a boy I know.
Go, go, baby, go!
Hey everybody, welcome to Yours, Mine, and Theirs, the greatest movie podcast of all time. So this is Roy, and I am back in South Korea.
This is interesting. Yeah. With limited internet, apparently. Hi, I'm John. I'm awake and late, and usually I'm pretty surly, but now I feel really bad this morning, so maybe I won't be so surly.
Less surly, that's good.
I'm Zo, and I've been up for 2 hours, so I'm more surly than normal. It's not true.
Anyway, you guys, this is what we do, right? We pick like a weird genre, or we come up with a bunch of genres, and we let you guys pick one, and then we do three movies, and we talk about them. So this is your podcast if you want to talk about movies where people turn into manimals. That's what we do here. So what we're talking...
We can't do that anymore. We've already done that.
We've already done it.
You're too late if you want to contribute, but at least you can listen to our manimal conversation because it's been done.
Yeah. So that's what we do, and we have a good time. And so we're going to talk about ensemble comedies, which is a pretty good genre. And, of course, we're going to do Horse Feathers, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and Three Amigos.
Do you guys want to chat, or do you want to just get to the movies?
Movies.
Okay, movies. Let's get to the movies.
It's like 12:30 at night.
I don't know, we were really looking forward to this particular one, right? This particular ensemble comedies. We're like, okay, we can't lose with this. The movies Roy just mentioned are three of our favorites, except for one that we haven't heard of. Chronologically speaking, Horse Feathers comes first. Can you just tell us a little bit about Horse Feathers?
Yeah, Horse Feathers. So it's a Marx Brothers movie, and I didn't know this. I was always... I'll sum up first, and then I'll mention it, because there's four Marx Brothers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's four of them.
Chico is obviously the famous.
One of them's lame. One of them's totally lame.
Yeah, one is...
Anyway.
one is like a crusty dean at a college.
Well, he's not
except he's not the crusty. Except he's not the dean. He's the crusty, uptight student. Yeah, here.
Yeah. And is he like Groucho's son? But aren't
no.
they brothers?
They're all brothers.
They're all brothers. Okay,
they're all
sure.
like
okay.
Roughly the same age. Okay, because Zeppo. Let me quickly tell. I think I mentioned this last time. Zeppo Marx, the youngest brother. He was just like kind of whatever roles are left over. He did, but the rumor is, like, this might be an apocryphal story, but apparently he was the most talented one because he was the understudy of all of them, right? So one time Groucho was sick, so when they were on vaudeville, before they were in movies, they were in vaudeville and they did these kind of shows. Zeppo played Groucho, and he did it better than Groucho, and then Groucho was never sick again because he couldn't let Zeppo...
So who are our Marx Brothers? You got Groucho, who's the guy with the marker mustache.
Yeah, he's got the mascara under nose. Mascara under
the
nose.
Grease.
You got the Harpo, who is mute, but he plays the harp.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that. And then you got the guy who's just the Italian immigrant.
Yeah. That's Chico. And I
Chico.
Thought it was Chico.
And then you have Gummo.
Gummo.
Gummo, not on screen though, right?
So then you have Zeppo, the one who's not—he's the straight man, I guess, of the group, right? So anyway, do you want to talk a plot? So there's a school. Groucho's become the dean because that makes sense. The problem is that their school really needs to win a football game. Well, the other school has hired a bunch of like prohibition mafia people to play football for the other team. And anyway, There's not a ton of plot going on here. I think maybe the most important part of the plot is there's a girl that Zeppo really likes, but then eventually every single one of the Marx brothers likes that girl, right?
Did you look up College Widow?
College Widow? No, I didn't. You tell me what a College Widow is.
This is an actual term. It's kind of an insulting term. It's just a girl who hangs near the college forever, and so she cycles through all the college guys, and she lives near the college. That's like actually a term, College Widow. Yeah,
that's nice. Well, anyway, eventually they play football. I don't think they understand football because I think ladders are involved, bananas are involved, animals are involved. I don't know. It's a weird game. And then
the officiating was terrible.
Yeah, the officiating was just, it was awful.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the movie, and it's kind of really hard to put together a plot because there isn't much of one. But that's it. So, what do you guys think of this film? What do you want to talk about?
I thought it was great, actually.
Yeah.
I want to say it's kind of one thing I wasn't expecting, I think, and I think you said this in your Facebook notes, is that you weren't expecting a musical because it's kind of
it's a musical. Yeah, it's a musical.
Yeah, I was going to say that in my notes. It was a musical, like crazy.
but it's like I almost feel like the way it's paced is each one of the Marx Brothers has a musical number. And I mean, it kind of feels like a kind of a live production, as in like, okay, now we're gonna do this crazy musical number while everybody's getting changed backstage, kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
you know, no, like that's sort of what it feels because it's like Groucho's number was actually really great because he's singing with the college and everything. He's doing that. There's this big ensemble. But then, like, Chico's and Harpo's numbers, it was just a piano solo and a harp solo. So that's kind of where I got that sense. One thing I didn't understand, or maybe I do understand based on my definition of it, is why I know why all of the men like Connie because she's a pretty woman, but I don't know why Connie is really like goes for all the men.
it's hard to say. So for me, this is the third Marx Brothers movie I've seen, and it's probably my second favorite.
Still a Night at the Opera?
No, I like it better than Night at the Opera.
But oh, you
I like,
do?
I like Duck Soup better.
Duck Soup, yeah.
Yep. I'll need to see Duck Soup. Okay, good. Okay, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some pretty good gags in this. Like the whole password thing is pretty funny.
Right? Oh, that's so great!
I love the password thing.
I love Harpo, and I love like he just sticks to the mute with the little, and he puts the sword in the fish, and then like the guy totally lets him in. I love that. That was so great.
And then like when he's about to fight, and he has like the tearaway clothing. But then like he's got like angry face, like angry Harpo face is pretty good. So also like Harpo. Harpo spends at least 45 minutes playing the harp. Like, he has a really long harp piece, and I'm assuming that's actually him, so he's pretty darn good, right?
He's so, like, he's... what was the other movie? Was it Animal Crackers? Is that...
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's amazing, too. So, like, Harpo, I was messaging Roy in the little Facebook Messenger thing. I think the best thing that I saw with these movies, and the thing I love the most, is Harpo's musical talent. That guy is so freaking amazing.
He's even like the Flavor Flav of 19-teens comedy.
Yeah. Flavor Flav? Why'd you use Flavor Flav?
Because he can play anything.
No, that's not Flavor Flav. Who are you talking about?
It is. Flavor Flav can play any instrument that's been made, my friend.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Prince somehow?
I'm absolutely thinking of Flavor Flav,
the guy with the clock. Really?
The guy with the clock can play any instrument you give him. Extraordinarily talented, really weird guy. Anyway,
I didn't know.
One of my other favorite gags was when he's playing the guitar for the girl in the boat, and he just tosses the guitar in the water. I also wonder, like,
yeah,
how much of this is improvised by the Marx Brothers? I mean, how much is scripted, or how much is just, you know, someone just starts rolling film and they kind of know what the story is supposed to be, but they just do whatever.
Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of it has to be scripted. I was actually thinking that because, like, the swordfish part is the password part is a perfect part. Like, yeah. Maybe the double play. Like, that's the thing about Groucho is his wit and how quick he is to respond and how quick, like, the double entendres, like, roll off his tongue. Like, he's so quick-witted. It has to be scripted, right? Like, he's incredible.
I don't think it was improvised at all.
okay.
Just because I kind of feel like it was written improvised, you know? when they were putting it together, maybe there was a lot of collaboration, but I was actually really surprised because I don't think the Marx Brothers are credited as writers.
Oh.
I think it was someone else. Interesting. Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So another thing that was really fascinating from this film for me is, we used to watch cartoons and it was the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. And the very end, when it was the end credits, it was like the chariot that had like the brooms in the back and the janitor. And I mean, that had to have come straight from this movie, right?
I remember that chariot now. Yeah. And I was thinking, I mean, is that a thing? Garbage chariot?
Yeah.
It must be, I guess, yeah. okay, well, okay, so, I mean, we mentioned Harpo and his gags. Roy, I think you had I'm not totally sure, because I kind of think Harpo might be the most talented, like, physically. He's really amazing. But was he also too annoying? Like, with the face and everything.
I liked his angry face. It reminded me of Infinity War, right? When Mantis does her anger scary face. It reminded me of that. So I don't know. I mean, he kind of skirts that line, right?
Okay. Do you know what else skirts that line? This movie was in 1932.
Okay.
And Groucho gives a line that I was amazed is a line that you can say in 1932. First of all, there's a lot of sexual stuff, but this particular line is not that. When Connie is talking dumb to him because she wants the football plays in the canoe, she's like, "Oh, won't you please give me the football plays? Will I understand?" And he says, "If you keep talking in that voice, I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat," which really took me aback for a movie from 100 years ago, that they would be so viciously and descriptively violent like that. But it's a comedy. Okay, well, that's Horse Feathers. I'm not sure if there's anything. I have a lot of awards that I might mention during awards, but I don't know if there's anything else. There's one big thing that we haven't talked about, but I will definitely talk about during awards.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. I'm glad I saw Horse Feathers, so that was good.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did want to talk about was
We're going to Target.
Okay. Cool story. See, we're going to Target, you guys. Did you hear that? Like the editing was like really choppy. I don't know if that was like an intentional thing, but no. Did you guys notice that at all?
Well, because there were sequences where like it was within the same shot where it would like switch to like it would cut out and switch to like more poor quality film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I read that was like the loss of film. Like, it wasn't archived properly, and so they had to like cut in like different versions of the same movie because of film damage. Yeah. But at one point it was more smooth.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, man, this is really choppy. That makes sense, though. It wasn't archived properly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Cool. Anything else with this one?
Nope.
Guess not.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Gosh, I don't know how long this is going to take, but the next movie is a movie called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and I think just saying the title like took up most of the time when it comes to summing this movie up. But okay, if you haven't seen this, this is how it goes. This guy crashes on the freeway. A bunch of strangers go down to help him. He dies, but before he dies, He's like, all right, I'm going to die. I'm going to tell you about a treasure. There's treasure buried in a park a few miles away from here under a big W. And then he dies. And so the four cars go off, and they're like, okay, well, we don't believe him. We don't believe him. But secretly, they believe him. And they try to be civil about it, but this movie is about the nature of mankind, and they are not. So we got a dentist and his wife who fly in a plane that goes slower than cars, but then they get trapped in a hardware store. And then we get Sid Caesar and his wife and his mother-in-law.
No. Sid Caesar's the dentist.
Oh, Milton Berle.
Okay. Milton Berle.
Yes, thank you. I get Sid Caesar and Milton Berle mixed up. I'm sorry. Milton Berle and his wife and his mother-in-law, they're traveling, and they kind of crash into the truck driver who's also there, and they all go off together, and they meet this British guy who they don't want to share anything with. And then they call Milton Berle's wife's brother to just go pick up the money because he lives right there, but he's a lovable loot idiot.
Sylvester
is... Sylvester... I know we're just talking about this, but we can talk about this now. MVP of the movie? I don't know. Maybe Sylvester? I think Sylvester made me laugh the most. I don't know about you guys.
Man. Sylvester makes my wife have to run to the bathroom because it makes her pee. She laughs so hard.
Nice. Okay. But also the truck driver I mentioned, he gets stranded, and Phil Silver picks him up, but then double crosses him. Also, he kills a gas station. We'll get to that. Yeah. I think that's like its own conversation. Okay, and then Mickey Rooney and Buddy Hackett, they're in another car. They also take a plane. It's a much faster plane, but they fly all over the place because the pilot gets knocked out, and they very, very nearly die. A very terrible death, but they're up there in the plane. Let's see, is that... those are all the four cars, right? Ultimately, the story is the cops are on them the whole time. But this is a big tuna factory robbery, and so Captain Culpepper, he keeps tabs on them. He can't make the arrest, right, until they find the money. But here's the deal. Captain Culpepper, he's lost his pension, he wants to retire. He wants to take his wife and his daughter someplace nice, but they're not giving him his pension. What?
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Why? I thought you said why. I'm like, what? Are you saying Captain Culpepper doesn't deserve pension? I mean, of course.
he deserves it.
Yeah, he does deserve it. Aloysius does what he can, and then he pulls through. But by that time, Captain Culpepper, he's snapped. And he's the true villain. So when they all converge on the park to dig up the treasure, after painfully... By the way, okay, does that big W exist somewhere?
I looked it up. So it was... the view is from the backyard of someone's mansion.
Wow.
So it was private property. And I think if you go there, two of the trees are still there.
Oh.
So the W does not still exist.
Oh, dang it. That would be... because I've never seen a picture of anybody next to the big W. That would be amazing. But
yeah.
Okay, so they dig up the money. Captain Culpepper says, you know, you guys go ahead and turn yourselves in. And they go ahead and do that. They fall for it. But then they see that he runs off with the money. And his plan is to run away to Mexico with the money, even though he has the pension, he has the retirement plan, he has everything he wanted. But... no cell phones, right? This is a case of no cell phones, so they couldn't contact Culpepper in time. They all chase him down, and I'm going to, really quickly, I'm just going to run down, like, the way in which all of them die. First of all, they go up into a condemned building, and they're all trapped up there, and then they're stuck on the faulty fire escape. The dentist, Sid Caesar, he's whipped. He's whipped by the ladder to save them into a condemned building. Peter Falk, the cabbie, who helps them get to the park with the big W, he falls down and just destroys a bridge. The other cabbie, he is, well, we'll just say this because it's part of the joke, and I don't know if you could get away with this joke at all now, but he falls down, he hits a trampoline, and then he lands into the lap of a statue of Lincoln, which...
That's so great. I love that.
Phil Silver, the snivelly guy, he is launched across the city, just launched like a missile across the city, and he slams, goes through a window and lands into like one of those wall beds, whatever those are called.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, Buddy Hackett and Mickey Rooney and the British guy, they fall onto... a bunch of electrical wires. They completely electrify themselves. Yeah. Jonathan Winters, the truck driver, he gets... he falls from the tree into some cement. And then Sid Caesar just flies through the roof of a construction building. and then, of course, Sylvester, the best... He somehow, like, falls and then slides across a series of picnic tables, like, just destroying all the food. Just slides completely horizontally. And then Captain Culpepper, he is whipped backwards into another building, into, like, a pet store where all the dogs lick him. Ultimately, it is a comedy. None of those are going to win best deaths because apparently they all miraculously survived.
They all survive, yeah.
Yeah. And they dropped all the money onto the crowd. And so that's what happens. It's a movie about greed. It's a movie about life. It's a movie about not so much love. But it's an epic movie, and it's 3 hours long. So, what do you guys think? Mad World?
It's the mad cappiest movie of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, there's no other movie, there's no comedy to this scale, right?
No, so I was thinking, right, if there's such thing as an epic comedy, this is it. And I mean, this may be the only epic comedy. I'm not sure what else would qualify. Maybe The Holy Grail?
Monty Python, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, think of Stanley Kramer's job as director to corral all of these larger-than-life personalities and try and... I mean, all these guys, you know, they're all professionals, but they're all... You know, all of these actors are pretty big names at the time, like trying to like put together. Maybe that's why like the chaos works so well, because it's like this organized chaos. I don't know. I was watching it this time and I was like, this is crazy. This is a feat. I don't know how he pulled this off. It's like the Ben-Hur of comedies.
No, it absolutely is the Ben-Hur of comedies. But so I guess they had to like turn some people away, right? So and I know for a fact that they wanted to get Stan Laurel from Laurel and Hardy.
Okay.
But Hardy had already died, and Stan Laurel had said that he was done. He wouldn't act anymore without Hardy.
I need to see that movie because apparently that's kind of what the movie is about. It's their final friendship. That movie, Stan and Ollie. You guys see that? Apparently, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So, but this movie is it's pretty amazing. It feels kind of like a chaos, but right, like I don't know, man. This movie is just so many good jokes right after each other, and then of course the big ending of this whole film, right? Like the very final joke of this movie is the banana peel gag, which is pretty great.
Which is interesting. We didn't mention this, but in Horse Feathers kind of, it doesn't quite end, but the final sequence of the big football game is a series of banana peel gags.
Yeah.
it's kind of funny. They both kind of ended that way. I do kind of, really quick, going back to Horse Feathers, I do love how Harpo's throwing banana peels on the enemy team, and then Zeppo's like, good job, you know, he's carrying the ball, he's going to score a touchdown, and then Harpo just banana peels him too. Like, that's like a weird thing of Horse Feathers. It's like, it's like they're suddenly on the same team, and they're helping each other out, but then it's just like turncoat, just betrayal every time.
Yeah. No, that's great.
And, so and I, this, of course, yeah. A lot of betrayal.
Yeah. So I find it fascinating, right, that you have this like 2.5 hour long or 2 hour and 40 minute long comedy movie, and the director's like, okay, we need one last joke. And I just think it's perfect that's the final one.
Well, it's the best banana peel joke I've ever seen. Like the most, like whoever did that. I mean, if Ethel Merman actually slipped on that banana and fell like that, I would just be amazed. And I'd invent a time machine and I'd marry her, even though she's Ethel Merman and she's weird. But
yeah,
like, but like whoever that person was that did the slip and fall. Do the flip backwards. Like, I've never seen, like, that's like a high jump level of height on that slip.
So let's talk about some actors in this that like are just great that they're in it, even though not really a comedic role. So you have the sheriff, right? That is a what's that actor's name? He's in like the Disney Robin Hood movie.
Okay, I wanted to ask about that. It was Andy Devine. Yeah, I was going to ask specifically that. Is that the sheriff, the Friar Tuck? Is that Friar Tuck in there? Okay.
But then you have, like, there's another actor, and I don't even know who it is, but he looks familiar. It's like an older gentleman pulls up in a convertible, and he says, "Is there a problem, gentlemen?" And they, like, yell at him, and he just goes, "Well," and he leaves. And I have no idea who that is, and the voice sounds so familiar.
I believe
it's
that's
be
Jack Benny.
Is that Jack Benny? Okay.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? That's Jack Benny. I think I knew that, but I'm not sure where Buster Keaton is.
Buster Keaton is the guy who's trying to help Culpepper smuggle his car across the border. He pulls into his garage, and he's the guy that has the garage there, but when all the taxis pull up, right? And so at the very end, as all the cars pull away, he kind of does the hesitation step in one direction, then the other, kind of the signature Buster Keaton move.
So he doesn't, like, have lines. It's like a it's like a long shot of him just being Buster Keaton physical.
So I kind of hoped that it would be completely silent. He does have one line, but I thought it would have been fitting for like the Buster Keaton part to be completely silent.
Huh.
But he has like one quick line, like "Hey there, buddy," or I don't know. It's something inconsequential, but
oh, wow.
Yeah. So
okay, I didn't know that.
So yeah. So I hope you all watched the Homer the Vigilante, because the last 5 minutes of Homer the Vigilante is just this movie.
So
right?
Great.
It is
really,
this movie.
Really good. Yeah.
Looking for a big T.
And the best part about that whole homage is the part where you have Phil Silver's car sinking into the river, which is
definitely Phil Silver's. And, you know, we didn't talk about that in the movie, but yeah, Phil Silvers is the worst character in this movie. He's the most sniveling. He's just the most evil.
Yeah.
But, Roy, as you point out in your Facebook notes, he does actually still stop for everybody, and he helps everybody out. Just begrudgingly.
Yeah.
But trying to get back onto the main road, the kid just says, "Just drive over the river." And the kid walks across the river, and then when he tries to drive across it, it's like 10 feet deeper, and it washes the car away, and that's exactly what happened in Simpsons.
He does that thing with his fingers, and it's just, man, he's so funny. So, but this movie, like I've seen it a whole bunch of times, and it's an older movie, but like they're like for a film, a comedy where I'm like laughing out loud, this movie, man, it just happens a lot, and there's so many really great scenes. I don't even know how it happens, but I can't get over the scene where they're trying to land the plane and Colonel Wilberforce is on the mic, and then it cuts away from him and it cuts back and he's like completely entangled in the wire. And he's just like, "What the hell is going on with this wire?" It's just so good. Yeah. So some things I want to talk about is Ethel Merman. Her character is like by far the one you hate the most almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just done so perfectly, just so, so perfectly. And then also, I think the character that maybe I hate the most is Emmeline, right?
Yes.
Because like she's supposed to be kind of level-headed and not getting into this whole thing, but I just can't stand her.
Well, I think the most tragic line in this movie is when she realizes where the big W is. She has all the money, and she can get it if she wants to. And she's confiding in Captain Culpepper because she doesn't know who he is. And she says, "If I have enough money, I could live in a convent." This person's life is so tragic that that's the biggest dream she could even think of.
$350,000 is going to get her into a convent. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah.
So that's another part. So there's the scene where Phil Silvers picks up Don Knotts, right?
Yes.
And Don Knotts doesn't have a lot of great lines, but when he gets out of that car and he has no idea which way to move and he's just doing his thing, oh, so funny. So good. And man, just so – and then watching the pilot just flying all around in the back of the airplane after he's been knocked out. I mean, this movie's just got so much it really incredible
comedy. I want to say, speaking of that scene, here's something – because I've seen this movie, you know, like 10 times.
Yeah.
Here's something I never noticed before, but when Mickey Rooney and Buddy Hackett are flying around in the plane and they're trying to, and Buddy Hackett, it's like been established Buddy Hackett is flying the plane because the pilot gave him the controls and he said, you can fly a plane, you're a great boy, you're a natural, you know,
yeah.
And they give him the radio and it's like, you have to fly the plane, you have to fly the plane, da 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 da, and they're trying to talk to Buddy Hackett about flying the plane. I didn't notice until now that they don't actually land the plane until Mickey Rooney just takes controls and lands the plane. Just like at the very
yeah.
end. Yeah.
No, absolutely. This is the very first time I ever noticed it, that Mickey Rooney lands the plane, not Buddy Hackett. So.
Yeah. Dang it. Okay, if we had time, I'd talk about the time that I saw Buddy Hackett on The Tonight Show in the late 80s, and he told this terrible joke, and it was great. But I won't tell it.
All right. So you gotta love also Jonathan Winters. His character is just so physical. But there's the scene you were talking about, yes. Right, where he just completely dismantles the worst built garage of all time. Right?
They were open for a week. I guess they didn't put in the beams to this to this garage. This is what I wrote down as I watched it. I wrote down when Jonathan Winters destroys Ray and Irwin's garage, it's a miracle comparable with the creation of the Earth.
No, it is awesome to behold, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just you're sitting here looking at it like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, this is so real. Like,
he may be one of the most hard luck characters in the movie, mm-hmm. but he also might be the craziest, right? So
yeah, you could like his weird face where he's just kind of like one eye is bigger than the other and his mouth is just like a straight line. Like, okay. You know there's something psychotic going on there.
Yeah. So, Madness, this is his first feature film.
Is it his only movie?
No, he has to have been in other movies.
I don't know. It's like you don't think of... I only know him from this movie, but he must have been the most famous comedian of the 50s, right? Because that's what he's really known for, right? Well, I'm not sure. I wasn't around.
You know, doggone it, now you got me, so he was in The Shadow. Does that count?
Oh, I guess.
He was in The Smurfs, but let's see. I'm looking it up. He did the Jonathan Winters show for a long time.
Hmm, okay.
But man, as far as contemporary with, it's a Mad. He was in movies. A lot of TV shows. It's a Mad World. The Russians Are Coming, which, by the way, 1966.
Okay. I considered that movie for this, actually, because I know that's a famous ensemble.
Yeah. He did a handful of movies in the 60s and 70s.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Good for Jonathan Winters. Okay.
Good for him.
The other part that I wrote down that I'm just like, I have to mention, I don't know if there's much to talk about, but the sequence when... Hawthorne, is that his name? Hawthorne and Sid Caesar, when they're fighting each other.
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle and Hawthorne, they're fighting each other. Yeah, sorry. and they're really, really tired, and they just they both go for a punch at the same time, and they both just clash fists.
And they just punch fists. It's really good.
The detail to each and every joke in this movie is maddeningly incredible. It's it is maddening because you're like that detail in that fight. I wrote that down specifically. Like, with all this stuff going on, how do you focus on each and every stupid joke that it kills it?
Yeah.
And also,
how painful did that? Like, that didn't look fake. It really looked like they connected and bounced back.
No, so if you're the director, I mean, again, how much of this is letting the people do what they want, or how much of it is like a nightmare trying to control all these actors and say, hey, this is the script. These are the already really good jokes I've written. You know, please just follow the stupid script. But, man, this movie is, John, this is, in the field of comedies, this movie's a masterpiece.
I guess if you say so.
I say so.
Okay. Yeah, what else? What else you got? I did write down, like, when the plane crashed through the restaurant, that was a plane crashing through a restaurant. And yeah. there were, you know, like 200 extras. They all could have died.
Yeah, from the shards of glass flying everywhere. Yeah. So, the scene, I guess, that makes Valerie have to run in the restroom, we know Sylvester's he's awesome, right?
Yeah.
But man, like, so he's got his dance pad. And it's just where he like gets his groove on, and like, and during that slow song, he's just like, man, he's putting in work to really get that groove out. But then when his mom calls and he just like, she's trying to tell him there's money, but all he can do is focus on, I'm coming, your baby's coming. Oh, that scene is one of the greatest comedy scenes in any movie. Ever. It's just so good.
Oh, and then periodically it just cuts to him. It just cuts to him crying while driving. and he does this massive jump in his car, just like the Dukes of Hazzard, like, jump just to get to his mama. And she's so mad at him that he didn't just listen to her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dang it. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we got that. A lot of awards to give out, so we'll save those four awards, so stay tuned for that. Next up is a little movie, that I've recently heard of, 30 years ago. And that is the movie, Three Amigos. So what's Three Amigos about? Have you ever seen this? Have you heard of this?
I heard of Three Amigos. I've never heard about Upside Down !3 Amigos! Regular way.
Ah, okay.
I actually noticed the title for the first time. I'm like, oh, that's clever. Good for them. So this movie, I also didn't realize it was directed by John Landis.
John Landis. So this would have been time,
which is incredible.
I mean, it's kind of the Saturday Night Live movie after Blues Brothers, right? It's like John Landis, like, this is his thing. Animal House, Blues Brothers, Three Amigos, right? It's kind of like he's sort of establishing that, but yeah.
This is the first time that Martin Short and Steve Martin worked together, is on this film.
Yeah,
and now which they're, like, touring together, yeah.
So Three Amigos, I mean, pretty simply put, it's a group of, budget, $25 million. It made $40 million, so money.
Sir.
Good for that.
Three famous silent stars. They've they're kind of past their prime in silent movies, and it's that critical stage where they've got to figure something else out, and they have an argument with Fat Tony.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to hear his voice in this, like, oh my gosh, I love Fat Tony.
Yeah.
John Lovitz looks handsome. He doesn't look like a bridge troll, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, young Phil Hartman.
Really quick, so I gotta mention, speaking of Joe Mantegna and John Lovitz, okay, Roy, for years and years, on the Star Trek podcast, on this podcast, we always make fun of the Cochise picture, where they don't like each other. They get to know each other, they hang out, and they're friends, you know? In my mind, I always picture Joe Mantegna saying that line, the way we say it. They're friends, like, you know, with the gravelly, ah! But it's John Lovitz who actually says that line, which is weird.
Oh.
Yeah. it's just John Lovitz just with his smooth voice saying that line, the Cochise picture. But they, Kind of surprisingly, Flugelman Pictures does not make any money on the Cochise picture.
Flugelman.
Because you caught Flugelman on a bad day.
So I love the movie that they just completed. I would love to see that. The Three Amigos on a Holiday in New York City or whatever.
Those Darn Amigos.
Yeah.
Those Darn Amigos. Okay, so, yeah, so essentially they're, they think that they're, I'll just summarize it. So anyway, so they've, you know, getting this argument, with, Flugelman because they think that they're more iconic than they are, fired, everything taken away. There's a village in Mexico, Santa Poco, which means holy little, they are under attack constantly and under pressure from, the bad El Guapo, and they screen this movie, right? They see the Three Amigos and they think, oh, well, these heroes can save us. They truly can save us. And they send a 10-peso message or telegraph to them, which is great. You are great.
It went from like, because the message went from 38 level pesos to 10 level pesos. So it's just and, hacked up message. Yeah.
And he, so I think the part that really like just made me laugh out loud this time was when they say it's the infamous El Guapo, and they have the debate of what infamous means, and he's so famous, he's infamous. Like, he's more than famous, he's infamous.
I love that so much, especially really because, well, the thing is, they're in Mexico, right? They send the telegram, the guy who knew, like, Carmen didn't know the word infamous, right? But the Mexican telegrapher, like, he knew more than the Three Amigos did about, like, how language works.
They go there thinking, oh, we're going to do this big show, and it's going to be great. Who's this El Guapo? So they get to Mexico. We'll talk about some of the things, and you know, as because I want to discuss some of the things that they say, which is pretty funny. So they get to Mexico. It's this thing. Obviously, they are not understanding that, like, what they're actually there to do. They think they're there to do a performance. Well, they're not, and they're disappointed by the three men that show up to the to their first quote unquote performance, and then El Guapo returns with 50.
Their performance is good enough to scare those three men away, so something can be said about that.
They called us scum sucking pigs and rode around and shot in the air.
Us.
So
pigs, us.
Now, the guy holding the flash for El Guapo's photograph may be, or may receive a stud award.
Wow,
as handsomest person in either of the or in the three movies. So anyway,
he had teeth all over his face.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah,
it was. He looked like a shark. So
yeah.
So then, you know, El Guapo returns with 50 men. He's upset. He's going to rip the intestines out of them and squeeze the bleep out of them, which is such a great line. Uh-huh. They show up, and Steve Martin is shot with a real bullet. And then it dawns on them. And then it dawns on them that oh, this is actually completely different than what we were. We're not doing a show. There are real stakes in the game. And they then need to overcome their own
El Guapos.
So then it becomes the whole you know, Seven Samurai tale, right? Like, they have to try and figure out a way how to save this village after they do this very, like, kind of throwback set piece, which is great with the animals kind of walking around. Like, it's so reminiscent of like the old Hollywood pictures. Which,
while we're talking about it, Blue Shadows, that's a legit song.
Oh, it is a legit song.
Well, and legit, like, as in good, right? And it was written for the movie, yeah. I assume it was Randy Newman original.
Yeah, I love it. I love that song.
It's good. It's good.
So,
did you guys see Ballad of Buster Scruggs yet?
Yes.
So great.
Blue Shadows is the type of song that, what's the Who's Buster Scruggs? Yeah, Buster Scruggs would sing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then they have to figure out a way how to overcome El Guapo and put their own cowardice aside to save this village because they feel so bad. And they try to employ some actor's tricks using the tools in the bag limited tricks that they have to defeat El Guapo. And they do. And it's a happy story. And I think the other part that really made me just laugh out loud was when they're going through at the very end and they're kissing the different women, mm-hmm. and that one busty gal comes out and goes after Mark Short.
Yeah.
And the two of the Dusty Bottoms just look at him. But
look at each other. You know, and she like goes back into the background. She like walks back around out of sight again, just like where she came from.
Well, so right before they use the Amigos plan to defeat El Guapo, when they go to his village, right, I love that they have this plan to rescue what's her name?
Carmen.
Carmen, to rescue her, right? And the first part of the plan is to break into El Guapo's hideout, and then that's it, because they didn't think it would work.
Like, well, we didn't expect the plan to work, so we did not think of it. Okay, the best part of their plan, though, they're gonna swing in. They're gonna swing into the mission, right? And first of all, Dusty swings, and somehow. And by the way, these are just pinata ropes, right? I would think all the pinata ropes are connected to the same central structure, so they would roughly go the same place, you know, with these ropes.
Yeah.
But Dusty swings, and it malfunctions. The rope malfunctions somehow. He goes all the way across the whole village, and he goes across and he crashes into a room and he lands in a closet.
Yeah.
And after that happens, Lucky Day still gives the thumbs up to Martin Short. It's like, okay, it's going okay. Now you go. Let's see what happens now. He's like, yes, this is everything that we thought would happen.
Yeah.
But of course, and I've mentioned this, by the way, I watched this at work, like 2 days ago. And I had to do – we do this thing at work where someone rents out a conference room and we all take our laptops in and just a movie is going. And it's supposed to be kind of a dumb movie from the 80s is going and we can all work. But someone this time picked Three Amigos for our movie that we watched. And so I like stopped everybody from working. I'm like, this part's important. Everybody has to watch this part. This part's important. And probably the most important part of Three Amigos is when they all swing in. And Steve Martin just drags on the ground, swinging. It's probably my favorite moment in cinema history.
No, absolutely. It is. Okay, well, we'll get to the awards, right? So I love that Ned Niederlander, like, he hooks on to that other pinata with his spurs, and then he just hangs up there, and he just enjoys the party, right? He just has a good time during the party. it can't possibly be planned that his job is to simply fall and land on El Guapo's table.
Did anybody watch Steve Martin or Martin Short fall on the table, like in slow motion, perhaps? Because, yeah, someone died there. Somebody died. Maybe it wasn't right. Martin Short. But
it was someone's
skull is in their anal cavity at that point. Yeah.
So, one of my... There's so many like great lines in this, but one of my favorite lines is when they're sitting down with Carmen's family at first.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, is it Chevy Chase that he's got the taco and the meat starts falling out? And he's like, "Do you have anything else? Is there anything else besides Mexican food?"
I didn't think you got that line because I said that when we all went to your house and I said that exact same thing. You took me seriously when I said, "Do you have anything besides Mexican food?" I say that line every time someone serves me Mexican food.
Yeah. They're in
19. It's 1914. They're in a tiny village of 50 people. And Chevy Chase's line is, "Do you have anything besides Mexican food?"
So here's what I love about this. So John Landis is, you know, he's part of that. Like new Hollywood, you know, like the new Hollywood group of filmmakers. So, like, to them, cinema history is, like, really important. So my nerdy side this time was I love watching it for the comedy and the laughs, but, like, watching it and how John Landis intentionally filmed it mm-hmm. is, like, a mix of, like, there's some elements kind of paying homage to, like, Sergio Leone and some uh-huh. of the spaghetti westerns, the way that it's shot set pieces.
Let me talk about the sequence, right? Okay. And I think you might be thinking of this sequence. Okay. This is where all the characters are. They're in the mission. They're all kind of captured. Steve Martin is sneaking around. Chevy Chase is, you know, he's kind of captured and he's in the crowd. And then Ned and the German are going to have their face-off, shoot-off thing. And the action sequence right when the shoot-off happens, it's pretty great, right? Like the editing between, like, because it happens in like 10 seconds. Ned shoots the guy. The gun flips up. Steve Martin grabs the gun, shoots someone else. Someone tries to shoot them, and then Chevy Chase throws the knife. That's just like a great action sequence. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's great, but I love the validation, right? That these guys are like, whatever, they're these movie stars, but they all have these really serious skills, and maybe they've never used them to, like, kill right. people before, but, like, Ned can seriously shoot that gun, Dusty really knows how to throw that knife, and I guess Lucky Day is good at catching guns, so there's that.
We don't see it, but he is a really good lasso person.
Yeah, that's true. He's really good at the lasso, right?
Yeah.
So I love when they're like fleeing this villa, and Lucky Day is holding the gun behind him, and then he like turns his whole body towards the door, but he's still pointing the gun behind him.
He's limply covering El Guapo. Yeah.
Limply covering, yeah. Oh man.
And then the sequence where they steal the plane. And Martin Short says, "Oh, I didn't fly the plane. My stuntman flew the plane, but I think I can remember." And they're just dangling on the edges, and it's just like such a pop out in the movie. It's like you can almost say like this is like the bad part of the movie because they didn't bother filming it. But that is the joke, that they're all going to crash. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to land the plane. Why are they up there? The village is right there. They're going to crash into the village. And then just the next cut is just the music. Na, 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 na. And it's just calmly just kind of lands in the middle. Just kind of cuts into it. Yeah.
And then we, like, when they do the Amigos trick, we learn that the village is really good at sewing. And I think I got to probably say that at least once a week, at least weekly, someone will say something, and I'll say, if only we'd known that sooner, sewing. So, but it's just so great. So old woman, so like the wind.
Yeah.
So the greatest
trick I think that John Landis does in this is making three Amigos is totally like an homage, like I said, to older Hollywood, to silent film stars, to like the studio system. I think it's a really great homage to that, and it's an homage to, you know, those stars that may have been kind of lost forever once, you know, in the rise of the talkies. But the greatest trick that John Landis ever did with Three Amigos is making people like Rhett love this movie and unintentionally appreciating silent movies and old Hollywood. that to me is like my favorite part of this whole thing is he Kaiser Sose to everyone who's like, old movies are terrible. You love Three Amigos, which means you have an appreciation deep down. And it was just the way of like the comedy, like how like natural everything felt. And those three together were so great. Like,
they're fantastic. And it's interesting because I was thinking like, okay, after Three Amigos, I mean, Chevy Chase had whatever movies, and Steve Martin kind of went into like family movies, right? But then you had Martin Short, who just had like a series of bombs, but they're all wonderful bombs. Like Clifford
Captain Ron.
Clifford is the best awful movie ever made, and Captain Ron's pretty good too. And then Pure Luck is so good.
Interspace was right after this, I think.
Interspace, yeah, Interspace, fantastic. So yeah. Three Amigos actually was considered rotten by Rotten Tomatoes, so not reviewed horribly well.
Was it? I'm surprised.
And yeah, it was. It's officially a rotten film, but they're stupid. And then also, of course, the big one, which is really obvious, is that this is just this is a remake of The Seven Samurai, right? It's just The Seven Samurai.
Well, but I
it's
mean,
way funnier than The
Seven
Samurai.
It's funny. When we were watching this a couple days ago, the people I was with was like, "Hey, this is Galaxy Quest." Yeah.
did you tell the Galaxy Quest is also just the Seven Samurai?
And it is. I mean, it is inspired, but like the element. Okay, the element of Three Amigos and Galaxy Quest, what they share that Seven Samurai I don't believe shares, that really makes the story is the ignorance part of it. The idea that, okay, they're in a real situation but they don't know. And the comedy that's taken from that. And so I think that's a brilliant thing about Three Amigos. I'm sure there was a movie that kind of played with that, but I think Three Amigos really established kind of the Galaxy Quest template from then on.
Yeah. I've been shot. So yeah, no man, Three Amigos is it's a movie, doggone.
I mean, it is like filled with quotes. Like it is brimming with quotes.
Yeah. No, it's got some brilliant lines.
Like John says, like he uses that one. You know, like
Mexican food.
Do you have anything besides Mexicans? and everyone says everyone quotes the plethora line. Like there's just so many lines in here that are so essential to our generation.
I learned the words
movie.
Nada, plethora,
nada.
Veranda.
Veranda, yeah.
That
veranda line.
I had forgotten that line about it being a light chicken gravy. I was dying. I just watched it again last night, and then I watched it the day after our last podcast, or the night of our last podcast. So that line just hit me, and I was dying.
Is it light chicken gravy?
because two of the amigos, at least two of the amigos, agree that's exactly what Nada is. It's like, oh yes, that yes.
Yes.
the cutaway to Martin Short just pointing and agreeing.
You're right.
one of my other favorite jokes, and this is the one that like my parents always like were embarrassed about. It was the mail plane joke, right? And the mail plane joke is whatever.
It keeps going.
It's the Dusty Bottoms who doesn't get it.
That's the joke. Yeah,
here like he gets it, but he doesn't get it.
it's like that whole scene is just like the three levels of comedy, right? It's like, okay, well, this doesn't work on me. This works too much, and it's unhealthy. You know, Martin Short, and then Steve Martin is just indifferent to the whole thing. I think Steve Martin gets it, but just is kind of like that's not that great a joke, and he just wants to move on. Just oh gosh, watch that 30 seconds where the three different reactions to the joke. Oh, I'm so glad they crammed that in.
Yeah. Well, right. You guys want to do some awards or what?
Yeah, okay, we can do some awards. There's some more stuff that I have to say about Three Amigos. I'm going to get to it here. Okay, Roy, take us through.
Oh, I don't even know what to do. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with the best what the heck moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay, we didn't talk about this, but it's in Horse Feathers. And it's the very end, very, very, very end of the movie. And it's kind of funny. Okay, so I told you guys I picked this movie because I heard on the Gilbert Gottfried podcast that Horse Feathers is a pretty good movie. And I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And on that podcast, like introducing it, like he and his buddy were talking about, like, which one was the one where they all of them married the woman at the end of the movie? And it's like, oh, that's Horse Feathers. I'm like, oh, okay, Horse Feathers. Okay, so I knew there were 30 seconds of the movie Horse Feathers, and I'm waiting for this moment where all four of them, or all three of them, marry the one girl. And I'm like, okay, well, there's 30 seconds of the movie left. They've made no reference to marriage. They didn't say anything at all about it. So Gilbert Gottfried must have been mistaken when this is the movie where the three guys marry the woman. But then it just happens for no reason at all. That's how they end. Like, oh, it is the movie. For no reason, the three guys marry the woman. And there's this very weird implied, like when they all say, I do, they all attack her at the same time. It's a very weird thing. but yeah, that's the moment.
All right. What you got, Zoe?
For me, it's the fire escape scene in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Like, for me, that is just like, oh, everyone is really going to die in this moment.
So I'm going to go ahead and go with from Three Amigos when the Germans kill everybody in the bar. It's just all of a sudden not funny anymore, right? They just slaughter like 20 people.
There are so many people who die in Three Amigos. It's like 50 people die in Three Amigos. So much death.
All right. What's your favorite location?
Okay, my favorite location is... I'm going to go with Huxley College. Okay. It seems like a pretty fun, wacky college. A lot of pretty girls and a lot of fun biology classes.
Mm. Okay. What about you, Zoe?
Santa Poco.
Okay. You got good Mexican food.
Well, specifically, well, maybe it's when they leave Santa Poco. My favorite place is the, I don't know where it was at, but it's the, at night when they're singing that song with that little, the matte background and all the animals. That's my, that's the best location.
I have one complaint about that scene. Like, right before that scene, they're going over, the plans to, you know, to get to El Guapo's, they have the weird set of instructions, you know, but the first step on the instructions is to go east, and they all point a different direction,
Direction.
That was like a little visual. We go east, and they all point, like they know where they're going, and they're all doing wrong. But my annoyance is the sun is setting behind them in the west, and Steve Martin points right at the camera. So Steve Martin was correct in which way east is, right? But I think it would have been a funnier joke because there are four directions and there are three of them. What if all three of them got it wrong? So if the instructions say go west and they all pointed opposite of the sunset, I don't know.
Yeah, they really they
zero man, stars. I'm sorry.
They ruined that joke. So I like to believe that at the when they're camping, they're only like like 100 yards outside of Santa Polgo, right? Because they did have to like they wasted half the day because they forgot to ask for directions.
They just rode. They just rode hard, just randomly rode in the desert before realizing they didn't know where they were going.
So I do love also the Dusty Bottoms thinks that the whole singing or the Invisible Swordsman thing is so ridiculous, right? But then like I mean they're staring at the singing bush, but he can't possibly deal with the Invisible Swordsman. Anyway,
singing bush also can't complete a single song, like short attention span singing bush.
So my favorite location is Santa Rosita, Southern California, beach town. Okay. You're going to have some good place to eat, some good ocean, and there's 350 G's buried somewhere. So Santa
I almost
Rosita.
Picked specifically the park. I thought that was just a beautiful park. If that's someone's backyard, then that's a nice backyard. Hey, by the way, we've done two awards, and both awards have been from all three movies from each of us. So
yeah, this is insane.
Yeah.
Wow, we're doing so good, you guys. Okay, all right. Your best alien, Zoe.
Oh, it was the flash photograph guy with all the teeth, Mako. From Conan the Barbarian, who wasn't Mako.
Okay, shoot, this is where it ends. I actually picked the Three Amigos themselves, the Three Amigos, because they're aliens in Mexico.
Good one.
I'm going to go with, I have this, J. Algernon Hawthorne, because he's really foreign.
He is. You a foreigner or something? Yeah.
your voice sounds so foreign. So, yeah. So that's who I got. So, best movie title, Jonathan.
Best movie title, I'm going to go with Horse Feathers.
Okay.
Because I don't know what that means, but I kind of picture a mythical beast.
Pegasus.
That's not one of the titles.
Well, you said mythical beast and horse feathers. Pegasus, right? The winged horse.
Oh, yes. Winged Appaloosa. Please to explain it. Okay, go ahead.
Three Amigos.
Okay. Oh, right, with the upside down exclamation point that you love so much. Yeah. Okay.
Three Amigos. So I okay. So I'm gonna go with It's a Mad World.
I thought that might be the case. For the record, I hate It's a Mad World because I always have to count the mads. There are four mads. It's a weird amount.
Mad. Yep. You're just like
Okay. All right. Next category is best outfit. Oh. So that's you.
Oh, the Three Amigos outfit. It's so iconic. And
mariachi outfit.
The mariachi outfit, and the fact that my wife did that as a picture for my son for his, third birthday. Yes, definitely Three Amigos.
Okay, definitely from Three Amigos, but specifically from those darn Amigos, Martin Short's suit.
His Irish thing?
Yeah. He's wearing a holodeck. That's what he's doing. He's wearing a holodeck. It's like a black suit with yellow, horizontal and vertical stripes. It's great.
It's not black. It's green. But you're colorblind, so we'll forgive that.
I am colorblind, yeah.
So my favorite outfit comes from It's a Mad World. And it's not very much of an outfit, but it is super tight red shorts, no shirt Sylvester.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Favorite food? I don't know who went first last time, so the other person.
I just went with Mexican food.
Yeah, I went with Mexican food. I don't know.
Samesies.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right. Zoe, your favorite name?
Dusty Bottoms.
Okay. Jonathan?
Police Chief Aloysius.
That's pretty good. So I went with Ned Niederlander.
Oh.
Ned Niederlander.
The most confusing name is Hefe, because Hefe means boss, but he's not the boss. That's the most confusing.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so John, your favorite death?
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, there was... Okay, my runner-up... my runner-up is Paco. If you remember Paco, he's the guy who held his hat up really high for El Capo. But actually, I'm going to have to go with Smiler Grogan. I actually kind of the kick the bucket scene, but we have to talk about... This almost made my WTF, but when Smiler Grogan just like, oh, Aunt May... Or Aunt Belle. See, I didn't mean to hurt her or whatever. And he just, jumps back up again, after he died.
It don't mean anything, Aunt Belle. Say it don't mean anything. So, yeah, that was pretty
And then Buddy Hackett's if he jumps up again, I'm going to kill him or something.
So we probably I mean, so maybe I'm wrong, but there's a few actors in It's a Mad World that are decidedly not comedians, right? Was he a comedian?
I think he was. That's Jimmy Durante, right?
Jimmy Durante, yeah. Was he a famous comedian?
No, maybe he wasn't. Singer. Wasn't he a gangster? Crooner. Ah, gosh, I don't know.
He was a famous singer. But then also you have Spencer Tracy, who's in a few comedies, right? But when I think of Spencer Tracy, I think more serious films. I don't think of him as a comedian. But anyway, they both did great. Hey, that's fine. My favorite death is a German. At the hands of Ned Niederlander, because it's supremely satisfying that Ned actually wins that duel, especially since Ned can really pick the gun up and put it in his holster. All right, Zoe, who's your favorite hero?
Wait, Zoe, did you do death?
No, I didn't. My runner-up, Smiler Grogan, and my number one was actually El Guapo's death. Because he shoots the ground and it's a trick. Okay. And then he just dies.
Yeah.
Now you're up again, Zoe. Your favorite hero?
Harpo. Harpo is the hero that we all need. I love him. Anytime he does anything, I just want to keep watching him. He's my favorite hero.
All right. Jonathan?
Okay. My hero is... We didn't really go into detail about what they do. At the end of Three Amigos, the town of Santa Poco, they sew a bunch of amigos' clothes, and they all pretend to be the Three Amigos, and they fool El Guapo and his men by being like the three amigos and they're everywhere and El Guapo's men don't know what to do because there are amigos everywhere. I actually say that the true hero is Santa Poco's very hidden, massive arsenal of guns and ammo.
Yeah, how come they haven't been able to defend themselves? Where did the like 100
guns come from? They obviously just had guns
and
tons of bullets this whole time. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So my hero is Sylvester's pad, like his apartment, because there, I don't think it's possible that there's a greater place on the planet. And that's also a place where you can have some fun, but man, you can also work some things out. And it's hard, but you're going to get it done. So I'm going with Sylvester's dance pad.
Okay, cool.
All right, you're the best villain, Jonathan.
My best villain is the 10-peso telegram.
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, actually.
So what do you got?
The best villain for me is the $350,000.
Good.
I'm going to go with Billy Sue Culpepper. Because everything's going pretty well for Captain Culpepper until Billy Sue decides to run away. And granted, when you're 6'7" in high school, you're going to have some unique problems as a girl. but she is kind of like, her running away from home is the turning point for Captain Culpepper.
Interesting. Ugh, Billy Sue, terrible.
All right, Zoe, what's your favorite technology?
Oh, sorry, you cut out. What was that? Did you say technology?
Mm-hmm.
Ned Niederlander's the giant six shooter.
Yeah.
Throws it backwards.
The hand cannon. Yeah.
That was so great. That's my favorite technology.
Okay. I went with, gosh, I couldn't think of one. I'm sure there's a good one in Three Amigos. I should. Oh. I was gonna say the Harpo's telegram. Garbage chariot. But I think I'm going to switch that to the weird chain and weight mechanism in Lucky Day's prison cell. Like, I don't know what that was for. Like, is that based on anything? Did they invent that whole concept for the movie where you're chained up, but if you're strong enough, you can get out of the chains? Or was that, like, something – was that part of the mission as part of, like, penance or something? Like, in order to repent, you have to lift this much – weight or something.
I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? I've always wondered, like, what's the function of being able to escape if you're if you're strong enough, right? So yeah. So that's pretty good. So I just went with sewing. I had a hard time finding a good one, but
okay.
You sure wasn't gonna be good. I was thinking someone would say the Tuppen 601.
That'd be
mail. Yeah.
Mail plan.
All right. So your favorite recurring character, John.
I went with I couldn't think of one for a minute, so I wrote down laughs. Just laughter is recurring. But then there's an obvious one, and I think we all picked it, possibly, and that's the Night Slasher, Brian Thompson.
Dang it! Night Slasher. I specifically didn't mention him in Villains, and I was going to say it's recurring.
The Night Slasher from Cobra. This may have been the same year as Cobra. Big year for Brian Thompson.
It was. 86.
Oh.
86.
Oh, wow. That's 86 is the year of the of Brian Jagged. Thompson, the Night Slasher. Yeah, that's great. Two awesome roles.
Versatile, yeah. That guy. So.
Ah, you son of a gun.
So you guys just take that. That was my honorable mention. So technically, as part of this podcast, we have not done Cobra. So
that's true. Well, he wasn't a lot of Star Trek episodes. Yeah.
So I've got him as an honorable mention, but my favorite recurring character from this podcast is your friends.
The friends, yes, your friends. Of course, that's a good one because it's been said weekly for about 10 years on the Star Trek podcast. So.
Oh, that's depressing when you say it like that. Okay.
So do you have a recurring?
Yeah.
I thought we haven't done freaking Cobra on this podcast.
No, John and I did an audio concept, but we haven't done it. We haven't actually watched Cobra for this podcast. No.
Oh, I had Brian Thompson.
Okay, you
did. I don't know. Is John Lovitz? He's in Star Trek, right?
I don't think John Lovitz was ever in Star Trek. I don't think. Was he in Galaxy? I don't think he was. Was he in Galaxy Quest? He was not in. I almost want to say John Lovett's. There's a connection because the movie Rat Race is definitely a spiritual kind of remake of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and he's a big part of Rat Race. He's one of the best parts of Rat Race. Rat Race was pretty good, except the end makes you hate everything.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm glad we brought this up because the Rat Race is it's the remake of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. That's all it is. It's a remake, and the movie's pretty decent. It's not as funny because it's never going to be as funny. But then the movie ends at a Smash Mouth concert.
Yeah.
Ruins the entire freaking film.
I have to say my favorite line really quick. It's a John Lovitz line from Rat Race. And it's just, I always think of, whenever I see John Lovitz, I think of this. Because they're all requested to meet in John Cleese's hotel room, you know, so he can tell them that he wants them to do this big scavenger hunt thing. And John Lovitz goes in there, and like Breckenmeyer goes in there, and then Mr. Bean goes in there. What's his name? Rowan Atkinson is in there, and he's like this weird guy. And Rowan Atkinson says, "Oh, this room is amazing. Have you seen it? Have you seen this room?" And then John Lovitz looks at him and just goes, "Yes, we're in it." Okay, next up.
There you go. Okay, all right. It's your favorite guest star.
My favorite guest star is Andy Devine, who I believe is the Crockett County Sheriff, who also is the voice of Friar Tuck in the Robin Hood cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about you?
Mine is Phil Hartman.
Oh, that's a good
thing.
The late great.
Yeah.
I love that he's clearly not dialing, or that he clearly just picks up the phone and just talks into nothing.
Wait, okay.
Take the amigo's clothes.
That I almost picked that. That's not the winner for best like visual moment or whatever. But when he's like, "Get wardrobe right away. Take the amigo's clothes," and then wardrobe comes rushing in from the side. Like they must have been in the same room together. Like they're just waiting there.
They're just there. All right, so was that both you guys? It was, right? So my favorite guest star is going to be Buster Keaton.
Okay.
Great.
Just a good nod. So your favorite comedian from any of these films?
Oh, is that one of them? Okay.
It is, Jonathan Coe. Instead of favorite cast member, we're going favorite actor, it's favorite comedian.
Oh, I have a favorite actor for something else. So I just want to mention really quick that for actor, I wrote down Hefe.
He's
great.
He's so great. He's so great in Three Amigos. I love him. let's see here. For favorite comedian, I think I'm actually going to go with Steve Martin on this. Okay. I think he's got a lot of restraint, but when he pulls it out, I think he just got the most brilliant humor. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Zoe.
Fluda, 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 fluda. It's so good. It just makes me happy. I'm gonna say Groucho Marx.
Good. Yeah.
I just can't get over like how quick he is in his wit. I know it came down to writing, but that just it's astounding.
The back and forth lines are just delightful. I love it.
Yeah. They really are.
But there's only one actor in this set of movies who Dorothy Gish once said, "Kid, you've got it."
Lillian says
that's so great.
And so I picked Martin Short.
Oh.
Dorothy Gish, true story.
True story.
Okay. All right. Let's go to your favorite quote. Zoe.
Can I just say the movie Three Amigos?
You can.
Sure.
I mean, it's just movie. All of these quotes are things that I say consistently, and my friends say consistently. Jax, please be quiet, son. Like the whole. I'm just gonna go Three Amigos. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. I'm not gonna put
that's
one.
Fair enough.
One. Yeah. Three Amigos. Ahead, John.
Okay. I got honorable mention. Of course, is your friends. Right? Honorable mention. But I think the winner, the best line winner, is definitely... let me see if I can do it.
Woo. Woo. Hey, you!
You two. Ah, hey. Oh, Whippoorwill. 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 Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Ah, hey. Ah, hey.
So that one. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Okay. That's so brilliant. That's so brilliant. That's so good.
It's I don't know. Like, that's, I remember so seeing the movie. It's like, okay, I didn't remember that scene until, like, I saw it, like, much older. Like, I saw this movie as a kid, and it's like, okay, that's sort of funny, but that is just, it just gets so much more brilliant the more you see it.
Like, that's the thing about that is, like, the build-up, because mm-hmm. the only thing that I say, like, if I'm trying to get someone's attention is just, look up her! Look up her! But, like, the build-up is so perfect, and I may have changed it to Steve Martin as the best comedian. Like, the way that he pulls that off mm-hmm. is so just, it's so perfect, but the build-up, I just... Yeah, that's a good one. That is so great.
Yeah, it just keeps, like, the tension just keeps getting more and more. Yeah.
Oh, so perfect. Okay. Right.
All right. So my favorite quote, and I've already quoted it a million times previous to this podcast, but it's so good luck and may the best man win. Right, except you, lady, may you just drop dead. It's just so perfect, and then Lenny Pikes, all right, we all agree on that. So, that's my favorite line.
So. That's so good.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so the next one is the hot stud budget, and I don't even know why this is a debate. This one is a pretty obvious award, but go ahead, Zoe.
Hot stud budget? I mean, yeah. Obviously it's Brian Thompson.
That's a good one. Geez. That's pretty good. Uh-huh. I went with Sylvester. Shoot, what's his name? What's the actor's name? But it's Sylvester, yeah, with those
it's
hot
Sylvester,
shorts.
Sylvester, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you're bugging me. Okay. So then for your hot chick budget award, who've you got, John?
Well, I was gonna pick Edie Adams, Sid Caesar's wife. She's quite good, but no, the answer, I'm going to go with an actress named Barry Chase. And it's Sylvester's girlfriend, who is just so... just she has one purpose in life, and that's to dance, right? Like, she has so much concentration. She will not waver from her dancing. And it's amazing, yeah.
All right. What do you got, Zoe?
The Ned Niederlander's little Latina.
Yeah.
Which is just so great.
His final kiss.
Like, she's blonde and everything. She's like, she's dressed all in white. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And she just disappears. She's like some phantasm.
Yeah.
A sexy phantasm.
Okay. So I'm going with Secretary Schwartz.
I almost picked her.
Who's Culpepper's secretary, right?
Nice.
And I think she's got the dark hair, and there's just that one scene towards the beginning where she walks past the cops and just every single head turns. Mm. And so she's got it. So, all right.
You
so
know,
here
I just
we go.
I just thought of a link. We're talking about it's a mad world with Spencer Tracy, who played the original father of the bride.
There we go. Then Steve Martin.
Steve
that.
Martin.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
There you go.
But Spencer Tracy is so good in that movie. Oh, anyway. Okay, that's okay. I just had that thought.
Hey, Roy, before we get to the special awards, I have a quick one that I want to spring on you two really quick, okay? All right, you guys, what's the next movie you want to watch? I'm going to give you a list here. Those Darn Amigos, The Cochise Picture, Shootin' for Love, Little Nettie Goes to War, Little Nettie Grab Your Gun, or Amigos, Amigos, Amigos.
Oh, man.
So good.
I think I want to watch Little Nettie Grab Your Gun.
Okay. I love how all the Little Nettie pictures are very violent, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to – I have to see Shootin' for Love. I think I have to see a movie called Shootin' for Love. Yeah.
Oh, Little Nettie Goes to War. Like, the idea of Martin Short in some, like, World War One trench picture, I'm in.
Okay, awesome.
I think he'd have a hard time making a real human face, though. Okay, so special awards. Ready?
Yeah.
So the funniest moment. So some of these awards are going to feel like they overlap. It's just an so that's fine. We'll just give more awards. But funniest moment, Zoe.
My honorable mention is the look up here. Hearing John do his impression that just may have moved that into my first, but I have to say that the password scene in Horse Feathers.
Okay.
That was so funny.
Wow. Okay.
What do you got, John?
That's my scene too. I think because it's the first time I saw it. It's like, okay, yes. All of these jokes, they're familiar. I love the familiar laughter. But the fact that the password scene where Chico and Groucho are, you know, they're going back and forth. They're fooling each other with the password. They're going in and out of the building. But that the scene ends with both of them being locked out of the place that they want to be. I love that, yeah.
And then Harpo shows up, and it's just like...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's so great.
Yeah.
You're both wrong, because the funniest moment is when Lucky Day swings on his rope.
That's true. And he just hits the ground. I didn't pick that because it's my favorite movie moment, and it's my favorite moment of living in this life. but you have a good point. I'll concede that.
All right, so the best joke... And I think when I hear best joke, I think it has to be verbal.
Okay, sure. Zoe, do you have one? I got to think about this, actually.
Well, I've got one, if you guys are thinking about it. I think the best joke is, do you have anything besides Mexican food?
Okay.
Agreed, that's what I have, because this is the funniest thing to me. No, that was so funny.
No, that is really good. I'm gonna go ahead and pick, I don't know, I mean, random thing from Horse Feathers. But when they're talking about the password, and he says, okay, I'll give you a hint. The name of the password is a fish. And then Groucho goes, is the fish's name Mary?
Mary?
He's like, no, Mary's not the name of a fish. And then Groucho again says, like, comes back around to it. It's like, well, she sure drinks like one. So just, I don't know if that's the best line in Horse Feathers, but that kind of humor, I think, is just great. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. So how about the best visual gag?
I don't know. That password scene in Horse Feathers is going to stick with me. It was so good. But I'm going to say the best visual gag was Martin Short, was Ned falling on the table. Like the thing goes falling from the sky. Like that for me was just, that's so great.
Oh, good. Okay, my visual gag, I picked Horse Feathers again, and it's when we meet Harpo, and this bum comes up to him, and he goes, hey, brother, can you help me out? I could sure use a cup of coffee. And then Harpo pulls out a steaming cup of coffee from his pocket and gives it to him.
That's pretty good.
Which it reminds me of when Homer says, oh, hey, can I get sugar for my coffee? And then Scorpio pulls out just handfuls of sugar from his pockets.
So I went with the three canteens from the Three Amigos.
Yes, we didn't talk about this.
Yeah, I'm so glad you
mentioned Martin
that.
Short
that
gets so a canteen
good.
Full of sand. How did that happen? But I love how Chevy Chase is like, he realizes long after he threw away the water that his friends need to survive. But he finally realizes, you know, his consideration, and he offers them lip balm instead of water.
Yeah. Gosh, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Roy.
All right. So, let's see. Your favorite ensemble?
My favorite, I think, like, for now, I'm going to go with the Marx Brothers. I think because they're new to me, and so I think I'll give them my favorite for that reason.
Okay.
Shut up.
Sorry, jeez.
I mean, part of me wants to say, it's Mad 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 World. I mean, it's a great ensemble, like, just by sheer volume, but it's just, like, the cohesion, I don't know, you know.
I'm going to have to agree with Madbeard on this one, the Marx Brothers. Okay, like, after watching Horse Feathers, I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, now I need to go watch all of their movies.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to disagree with both of you. So it's a Mad 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 World. And that's who I would pick. So, however, in the Battle Royale, among all the ensembles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving it to the Three Amigos because they have hundreds of guns, as long as they're in Santa Poco.
I know, I was going to pick, I was thinking about this before I watched all the movies, and I'm like, I'm probably going to pick Mad World because Mad World. Because there are just more of them. But yeah, after watching them all, I realized, okay, no, the Three Amigos, they just have tons of guns. They'll just shoot everybody. Yeah.
All
so,
right.
So, do you think other people will get away in a fight?
Well, who's shooting the guns? Is it the sewed people? Like the what? Or the like the villagers who are apparently marksmen? Then you're right. It's insane. Everyone.
Well, because the Mad World ensemble doesn't, and the Marx Brothers, they don't have guns. But, I mean, could the Marx Brothers conjure up some kind of magic, you know, like Marx Brothers magic that would nullify the magic of the guns? Or the reality of the guns? I don't know. My guess is no.
Well, all right then. Okay, all right, so the last category, the last award here is the most sensible way to split the dough.
Okay. I'm going to actually... Okay, I really like, you know, because... you know, maybe because I'm a socialist at heart or something, but I really like the first way they did it. They figured it out with several different shares, where you get a share for being a person, you get a share for being one of the people in the car, you get a share for going down to the thing... And you get a share for each individual person in each individual vehicle. And so I think the bureaucracy ultimately kind of was fair because it's like Mickey Rooney and Buddy Hackett, like technically they got more money that way than Sid Caesar and Edie Adams. But Sid Caesar and Edie Adams, they were also like together and they lived together and everything. And so... Like, as a unit, they didn't require as much, but Buddy Hackett and Mickey Rooney, they're more individuals, and so they're able to get more money. So I think it actually worked out. It's just a slightly different amount of money for everybody.
Okay. So what do you think, so?
Oh, it's what John says, but he was wrong. It's the socialist view. The money goes back to the people, right? They falls from the... You know, it falls on the crowd of people. The money is spread, and then the Three Amigos throw the bag of money back to the people.
Okay, very nice. I didn't think of it that way, but that's true. Good call.
Truly socialist, right?
Yeah.
Boo on Amazon.
So I think I prefer the one share per family. Right. So the truck driver gets a share. Everyone who's a married couple gets a share. And I think. You don't cheat Milton Berle by forcing him to share with his mother-in-law. I think she gets her own share. So she actually, it works out pretty well for her. But one share per, like, nuclear family grouping. That's how I do it. But I'm a dummy.
Yep.
So, all right, it's time to rank these stupid movies.
Back to the people. You're both wrong.
That's true. Who says first?
You go ahead, John. What's your number three?
I was...
There's going to be some upset people.
I was all ready to not put this at number three. I'm going to put Horse Feathers at number three. When I did it last night, I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely my number two. But, I don't know, talking about it and possibly, you know, let's revisit this in a minute. You know, there's a good chance Horse Feathers might overcome these other two movies if I see it as many times as these other two movies. But I just don't feel right allowing it into the hallowed halls of the other two movies, even though I wasn't as positive on one of the movies as I usually am this time. So Horse Feathers, number three.
All right, what you got, Zoe?
Actually, I agree with John. It's exactly what he said. I was like... I was surprised. I really liked it, but I mean, Jen, it's a mad world. It's like one of her favorite movies, and we've watched it a bunch. So, Hallowed Halls. The Hallowed Halls of Huxley College are closed.
I hate it when I give such a great movie the third ranking.
Agreed. Yeah. Like, yeah. This was really close, actually.
Yeah.
This is a good podcast, because we picked three good movies, and sometimes we do that, but sometimes we got some crappy movies, and so... But last time, I think our answers completely diverged, right? Like, it could not have been more different. But this time, we are all picking Horse Feathers for our number three.
Dang it.
And then my number two movie, like coming back around, is going to be The Three Amigos.
All right, Zoe?
Mad World.
Me too. Mad World. That's number two. I wasn't as positive on it this time. I mean, it is like 3 hours long. I mean, come on. And you know, I was gonna, I don't know, but it just doesn't, it doesn't have that many weaknesses. Not as many as I want it to have. So, it's solid. Okay. And then, okay, my number one, I guess, is Three Amigos, just because it's just,
agreed,
it's in my blood.
Agreed.
It's so tight, and it's just so, like, everything, all the jokes are just surgical, right? I'm just so impressed with just, like, a lot of people see this, and they're like, it's dumb humor. I'm like, it's dumb, but it's way smarter in its execution. It's like... It's smarter. It's more smart than we deserve it to be, honestly.
That's funny. So we don't deserve that movie, huh?
No.
All right.
But Roy, Mad World is your favorite? Is it just because it's so long that it just by volume?
I think so. I think just because there's so much of it. No, I just I mean, it's possible that these two movies are my favorite comedies of all time.
Wow.
That really could be the case. But it's a mad world. I just laugh nonstop throughout the entire film. That's not the case with Three Amigos. They're both really good. I just think that It's a mad world is just a little better.
All right. Well, I'm sad we don't. Right. I'm sad this is over, and we don't get to watch these movies ever again.
Never again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys know what we're doing next time?
I don't. I'm nervous about it because I feel unprepared. What are we doing?
We are doing movies from the year 1966.
This was
John's character, right? So, random year. 1966 was picked as a random year, and I will just start by telling you that the fans have chosen, I had to do they ended up being a tiebreaker, and there was a member of my family who had not voted, and I did not influence, but we will be watching Batman the movie.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Why do we have to watch so many Batman movies?
I don't know. Up until like a week or so ago, Frankie and Johnny was winning, which is an Elvis movie, and I've never seen an Elvis movie, so I was kind of excited about that idea. But that's that. So, Zoe, what is your 1966 movie that we are watching?
My 1966 movie that we are watching is going to be... I don't know. I have two. I'm so annoyed. I've been, like, battling this. I want everyone to see... Alhazard Balthazar.
Uh-huh.
But I also want to watch Fahrenheit 451, the Truffaut film that was like kind of his break into Hollywood. And then also the Battle of Algiers.
Well, you said two, so Battle of Algiers is definitely out. If I could influence... I don't know. I heard Fahrenheit 451 is kind of weak, I guess. I mean, Alhazard Balhazard is... I mean, it's supposed to be super
good. Did you watch it?
I didn't
watch
it.
You've seen it, right?
No, I didn't see it.
I haven't seen any of those movies.
Okay. Then let's go with the donkey as the main character.
All right. Alhazard Balthazar, right? Alhazard Balthazar,
right? I really want to watch Battle of Algiers. Yeah, let's do that. Alhazard Balthazar.
All right.
Alhazard.
I own it. Balthazar. So I can upload it.
Okay. Oh, that'd be helpful. Okay. So,
wait, have you seen it, Zoe?
Me?
Yeah.
I have.
Oh, I didn't know you'd seen it. I'd never seen
it. Yeah. With the Bresson marathon with Film Spotting, I watched all those.
Dang. Mm.
So there were a number of westerns that I really wanted to watch, and of course I've seen El Dorado before, and that one's pretty good. There was a movie called The Professionals with Lee Marvin that looked pretty darn good.
That looked pretty good.
In the end, I'm picking a movie. I decided we've done some westerns lately, and so this movie is way, way out there, and it's possible that this is going to be just awful. But it is available on Amazon Prime.
Good.
And it is called Lieutenant Robin Crusoe USN, starring Dick Van Dyke.
That's going to be awful.
Nice.
Yes, it might be.
I'm excited.
You guys, and I know you guys are going to hate me for this, but I'm so glad you didn't pick El Dorado, because I don't know what I would have done if I had to watch another John Wayne movie and another Batman movie in the same podcast.
All right.
Yeah, so, boo John Wayne. You have unpopular opinions and died 40 years ago. Boo!
All right, the next category that we're going to have to figure out some movies for is going to be the Jack You're Dead movies. So movies involving the afterlife.
No, I thought it was Philip K. Dick.
It was a tie, but I had to put out a comment about a couple hours ago saying, hey, someone's got to break this tie, and now Jack You're Dead has 9 votes and K. Dick has 6.
Okay. Okay, so who's picking the movies next time?
So the people picking the movies will be you two.
Okay.
The two picking the movies.
All right. What dreams for, may come.
For the Jack You Dead category.
Yeah. Just kidding. All
right, and so Zoe, you and I need to pick categories for the next go around.
Oh, shoot.
If you want to think about it, I've got mine already. Yeah, I'm going to do I'm the Cure.
Oh, so we're watching Cobra?
Rule-breaking cops. And if it wins, it's possible we'll be watching one Marion Cobretti.
Okay, cool. May I offer a few suggestions? Here's a new one, Netflix original movies. Someone must have just added that one.
Did we already do You Dirty Rat-a-tat-a-tat?
We've tried it. It was unsuccessful. I would be just fine trying it again.
Okay, so gangster movies?
Yeah, I want to do gangster movies because there's a couple of bogey movies I want to have people watch that probably won't get selected, so it'll be fine.
Petrified Forest. Da, 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 da. Oh,
dude, that movie's so good!
All right. I've got it. You Dirty Rat-a-tat-tat. All right.
Okay, cool. So we're set.
Yeah, do the random reveal.
Okay, let's see how many we got, like 90 categories here. Jeez, we got a lot of categories. Okay, all right, tell me when to stop, suckas.
Stop.
All right, number 51 gives us actors who play themselves in every movie.
Huh.
So, like Jeff Goldblum, Nicolas Cage, John Wayne.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's under subjectivity, so yeah. John Wayne, of course. Okay. okay, cool. I don't think that one's gonna win. I think we're definitely gonna be doing the other one. okay, cool.
I gotta go, gents. Good podcast.
Good podcast, okay, cool. Alright, so now that he's finally gone, I guess we're just we've got the podcast email, yours, mine, theirs, podcast@gmail.com. Find the blog. You can download all of everything that we've done so far. Not that you need to do that, because everything should be on iTunes or Overcast or whatever you use to, you know, get your pods. But our blog, anyway, is yours, mine, theirs, podcast.blogspot.com. Find us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. That's the most important thing you can do. It's better than breakfast.
Yeah. I wish you could like do like 6 stars. If you could do 6 stars, we'd want that, but you know, 5 at least.
Yeah.
So
also find us on Facebook, because we're a thing that's totally there. We do a lot of chatting on Facebook, so but all of any or all of those things would be really great. So all right. Well, I am sorry. We got started way late today. Roy, it's what is it next Thursday time there? Is that what time it is now?
No, practically, yeah.
So I apologize. It's wicked late your Saturday night, mostly Sunday morning, so the sun is probably coming up in Korea.
It's all right.
but we're done now, and that was really fun, and it was really awesome to talk those movies. The next podcast won't even be as good, so I'm not looking as forward to it, but I'm still looking forward to it.
All right. Well, John, it's been good hanging out with you and talking movies.
As always. Okay. Till next time, people.
Yeah, that is totally true. So, hey, wait.
Hey, do I sound different now?
Oh, you sound awesome.
Okay, well, I checked your mics, but I didn't check my own. So there we go. Okay, so we're starting again. Hello, welcome to... Okay, no, just kidding, we're not starting again.